Thanks for listening to another episode of the Matt Biamonte podcast. Man, it's mid-August 2019, and football is upon us. Just the other night, I made my wife and sister-in-law watch a couple iconic college football moments. I'm stoked. I'm ready for it. And so on this edition of the podcast, it's kind of season two with Dave Madsen and Jordan Smith. Last year, we did a weekly podcast talking BYU sports during the season. A lot of arguments, a lot of fun times, and I really enjoyed it, so I'm going to roll it back. It's just a friendly discussion about BYU sports, tons of different angles. Dave Madsen is iconically the optimistic guy. I play more of the kind of realistic role, and then Jordan Smith's in the middle of it all. So this is kind of season two, episode one of the BYU football roundtable. So without further ado, let's jump into it.
Let's start the podcast with this, Dave and Jordan. Dave, I just want to first off and say I admire your positivity. How do I acquire it?
I don't know, man. Sometimes my wife hates it, to be honest.
So
it's not always a good thing.
It's a remarkable trait that I don't have, but it's something you guys had last year. Kind of a little segue to season two of the BYU, whatever we are, arguing, hopefully doing a lot of celebrating. So it's been too long, guys, but I'm happy to have Dave Madsen and Jordan Smith, some longtime BYU friends. And if you want to get a good laugh, listen to some of our BYU podcasts last year because we really got into it a couple of times. So I had to bring you guys back for season two of BYU Roundtable Talk.
Good to be back. Thanks for having us, Matt. And can I ask you real quick, should we give you the nickname of, like, the kicking game guy? Like, I think that needs to be your new, you know, radio nickname, man.
Mr. Special Teams.
Mr. Special Teams. There we go.
I get so much hate on Cougar Sports Saturday for saying that the kicking battle – matters and is interesting. I never said it was the most important. I never said it's the only thing that matters. But when people say that kicking doesn't matter, I think, especially in college football, you're not being truthful. That's my two cents.
That's fair. I just think it's funny that the storyline's going to camp. You know, Zach Wilson's injured shoulder. You know, they're establishing the running back, you know, position and then the kicking game. And that's the one that you go with as most important when we're returning.
I never said most important. The exact word was interesting. Interesting.
Most interesting. Oh, okay.
So let's start right there. Jordan, what is the most interesting storyline of fall camp?
Oh, man. I think the running back battle, personally. I have faith in Zach Wilson, and I like our depth at quarterback anyway, so I'm comfortable with our quarterbacks.
That's exactly what I said on the radio show.
I'm pretty comfortable with our kicking game. I felt like we were pretty good last year, and I'm not too worried about that. So I think the running back position is what I'm intrigued with, because if we had a running back that could stay upright, we would have beat Utah last year. So I'm very interested in the running game. Not having a fifth string running back again going up against them is very intriguing to me.
Okay. The running back is certainly interesting. Dave, what is it for you?
First, you did not say the running game was the most interesting storyline. I heard you on the radio, Matt.
I didn't say that. No, I said that the kicking game is the most interesting. I also said I believe that Zach Wilson is healthy because everyone has said so. So I'm just going to take him at their word. And I'm comfortable with Jaren Hall. So either way, I'm comfortable. That's what I said. I never said running backs is the most interesting.
No, okay. I just feel like
this is how we're going to start season two right out of the gate.
Yes.
Not even some pleasantries.
No, show. No time for pleasantries. I'm calling you out, Matt.
There's nothing to call out. There's nothing to call out. Jordan, do something about this.
So this is low-hanging fruit, Dave.
We got to try to start things off with a bang. No, okay, most interesting storyline. Oh, gosh. I'm really curious about the middle linebacker position, to be honest. I think Zane Anderson and Isaiah Kafusian, yeah, the outside backer position is going to be really nice. And I'm just curious to see who's going to step up and take that middle linebacker spot. Is it going to be Kavika Fanua? I think my money's probably on him to take it. But who's the guy? Is it Gilgar?
It's Peyton Wilgar. He was like a
Wilgar,
kind of a hybrid linebacker safety down in the Southern Utah.
Yeah, and I know he's been getting some high praise. And then probably middle linebacker, and then the free safety. Is it free safety that's open?
Yes, yeah, between Sawyer Powell and Malik Moore.
And Malik Moore. Though today we had – I was listening to Ben Criddle. I don't know if I can mention the name of another radio host.
Yes, you can mention Ben Criddle. Matt, did he give the edge to Sawyer Powell?
Well, he liked Sawyer and he liked Malik, but he was talking about his two kind of underrated guys, under the radar guys in the defensive secondary. And it was interesting. He was gushing about Bo Tanner.
Really?
And yeah. And is it Hayden Christensen as well?
Hayden Livingston. Hayden Christensen was a poor portrayal of Anakin Skywalker. Mix those two up.
Yeah, my bad. Oh my gosh, can't believe that Hayden. Oh man, that's terrible. I can't believe I confused those two. He was gushing about both of them, just talking about how
Hayden Livingston is the real deal, from what I've heard.
Yeah, and he was really excited about him. Off his mission, I guess, played in spring ball. Young guy, but he said his potential's through the roof. He is crazy speed and athleticism. And then he talked about Bo Tanner as well, how, you know, he may get beat on a route, but the guy can close and close in a hurry. And he said if he can learn how to be physical, how to tackle, you know, lower the kind of get in there, lower the shoulder – he thinks he's going to be a pretty darn good safety. So he said those guys are kind of two dark horse candidates to potentially see some time at the safety spot.
So let me add a little context to all this. I have the fortunate ability to interview some people at practice when there's media availability. I don't want to harp on that. But to Dave's point, I talked to the Preston Hadley at the beginning of the week. It was, just earlier this week. So beginning of the second week of camp. And he mentioned that Hayden Livingston is legit and he's really working hard and is probably going to see some time. He also mentioned Bo Tanner has all the physical tools. He did say he needs to learn the defense. So if there's anything that holds Bo Tanner up, it's just going to be understanding of scheme. But because of the injuries to Troy Warner and Chris Wilcox, which I'm just – and this is not reporting, you know, in the terms of Bill Simmons. No aggregators, please come after me for this comment. I don't think either of those two players are going to play this year. And so depth is thin. And someone like Hayden Livingston and Bo Tanner and even Austin Kafensis, they could find themselves playing a lot if someone gets banged up. So – hopefully those guys are as good as advertised, because they're knocking on the door of seeing significant playing time.
I really do like the move of Dion going to cornerback. I wanted to bring that up too. That's
the worst kept secret in BYU offseason 2019 that he was going to cornerback. But yes, Jordan, I agree.
I think he'll make some big plays at that position, more so than he did at safety.
Yeah, I mean, all of his interceptions are at cornerback. And I talked to Gennaro Guilford a couple days ago, and there was a really funny – I put it on my Twitter, but there was a really funny soundbite of him talking about how hard it was him to have him lose him to safety. And then now that he's back, it's kind of like enhanced his game because he's seen things play out from two different positions. And Gennaro was just raving about his ability to be physical, his ability to dissect plays, and I think we're going to see the best we could be seeing, honestly, an NFL draft pick if he stays healthy. He's that good.
Wow. I'm actually really excited. I think both are corners. I've heard a lot of praise for D'Angelo Mandel as well, opposite Dion. I think both those guys, but to your point, especially Dion, are going to be phenomenal. I think Austin Lee as well in the safety spot has the potential to be another, you know, Daniel Sorensen type safety for us. Not saying he'll get to that level, but I was really impressed with him last year. I thought he was, you know, one of our better safety. I mean, he and Dion, I thought, were great in the safety spots. And so I like at least our starters that we have. Obviously, establishing the other starter at free safety is going to be important. And to your point, Matt, I do think depth's a bit of a concern. Obviously, when you lose Troy and Chris Wilcox, that hurts. I think we do have guys there, though. I mean, what's his name? Is it Isaiah Heron?
Yep.
Is it in the running there? Hopefully, is it Dimitri Gallo? If we can get him through academics, he'll kind of help to fill out that DB spot. I feel like there's a guy I'm missing who had some playing time last year who may be in the running. But you're right. We're thinner at that spot than I thought we would be going into fall camp.
Yeah, going into fall camp, guys, my concerns were middle linebacker, like first and foremost, and I would say wide receiver. And now that we're almost 2 weeks into camp, my concerns have completely shifted. I feel good at middle linebacker. I feel okay about wide receiver, but now it's like tight ends and safeties. You know, I'm definitely not concerned about Bushman, but if Moroni can't get back, and there's no indication that he won't, but let's just say he doesn't or he's not healthy, you got Bushman and then a bunch of inexperienced guys behind him. That's a little freaky.
Doesn't Joe Tukuafu have some state? Didn't he play at least a year for them before transferring?
I don't think he did. Let me double check really quick. But Jordan, thoughts on the tight end situation?
I mean, Bushman's so good. I mean, I would love to have Verona back. Don't get me wrong, but if Bushman's our main man, that just puts him on the field more often. I don't know if that's a bad thing, but I guess if the worry is if he gets banged up at all, then there's just nobody. I understand that part, but the more Bushman, the better, man. From what I've been reading, I'm not media availability like Mr. Biamonte here. Awesome.
Excuse me, Mr. Special Teams.
But it sounds right, like Bushman is just catching everything they throw at him. Doesn't matter how many these double, triple teams up there, he's getting the ball. He's an NFL talent.
And wow. I'm not ready to forgive Grimes until I've seen proof in the change when it comes to Bushman. Like that dude, he can't be coming off the field unless he's asking to come off the field. And if there's situations where he gets subbed off with like five other guys, which seems to have been a staple of the 2010 decade of BYU offense, where there's seven people running off the field for on a second and four, and they're shifting, like, that's just not going to fly with me with Matt Bushman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we need to keep our best players on the field for most of the time. Yeah, I agree completely.
I feel like I saw a stat, though. I think Bushman was the most targeted receiver for Zach Wilson when he took over as a starter. So from the time he took over, I think Bushman was like the most targeted receiver.
Which is good. Some of that too, though, is Moroni did go down. So
that's true.
So Jeff Grimes was forced against his will to play Bushman more than he wanted to.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I really do like MLP as well. I mean, I think these guys have the potential to be our best 1-2 punch at tight end since Pitta and George probably back in 2009. But I'm excited for these guys, man. Bushman's my kind of guy. Listening to his mic'd up that BYU TV put out, that BYU football put out, was great. Because the guy, like, doesn't say a lot, at least he didn't on this video. But he scored twice. Like, the only thing he said was, that's six. That's six, like, every time he scored is great. I was like, man, that's my kind of guy. Just shows up, goes to work, doesn't talk a whole lot, and
delivers. I love Bushman, and I won't be satisfied unless he's targeted 75 times this year. Anything less than that, if he's healthy, of course. But,
yeah,
I mean, everything should flow in the passing game, should start with Bushman and then flow out from there. You know, it's just when you're that good, schemes shouldn't stop you. You know what I mean? Like, I think back to great tight ends, Dennis Pitta, for instance. You don't think by his senior year, every team was trying to stop Dennis Pitta? That didn't stop BYU from force-feeding that guy the football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bushman is at that level of talent where it's like, we don't give a rip if we're going to double-team him. We're going to throw it. We're going to throw him the ball 7 to 10 times a game.
And they should. I mean, he's a mismatch nightmare, I feel like, for opposing teams. And, yeah, he's phenomenal.
All right. Jordan.
I have a question. Okay. Oh,
no,
sorry.
No, go for it.
Just for both you guys. But, Matt, I'm curious to hear the media access that you do have. How are the lines looking? Like, I've, you know, seen some articles on the O-line, the D-line. Those are positions that I felt like were going to be the strongest position groups on the team going into fall camp. I haven't heard a ton on either side. I mean, it sounds like O-line is looking good and D-line is looking solid. But what are your impressions of the lines?
My impression of the lines, we haven't seen much, but there's been some good things said about Zach Daw, Devin Kafusi, Lorenzo Fawatea. Offensive line, I think it's solid. I think there's more than five guys that they're comfortable playing. I don't really have any concerns on either side of the football in the trenches, which that's going to be the key, especially in week one, having, well, they don't have to win the line of scrimmage, but they can't get owned at the line of scrimmage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. There's not much has been said. I think it's because those position groups are just solid. There's not much reporting to do. Against Utah, I think Anai is going to get his every once in a while. He's pretty dang good. He's got to, you know, try to stop the other guys and attack their linebackers, I think. But yeah, I don't have any worries about either side of the line. I think that's Kalani's and Grimes' fortes. You know what I mean? In their careers, they've produced great linemen on both sides of the ball. So that should be a point of strength for us. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I'm not worried either.
Am I crazy? Is this just full-on blue goggle Dave here when I say that I think Kyrese Tonga may be the best or has the potential to be the best defensive lineman in the state?
No.
Is that just absurd?
I don't think so. No.
I think it's between him and Anai. Yeah, I think it's between those two.
There's going to be an interview playing on Cougar Sports this Saturday. It was a two-on-one interview of Kyrus Tonga between me and Mitch Harper. And, man, that dude, he's kept the weight down. That was an issue last year. He was just playing too heavy. Fatigue was an issue. He's kept the weight down. That's one of his biggest goals. And – If he's able to play more, I think that's the difference. Is Anai is in shape. He's just, I mean, he doesn't weigh as much. So if Kyrus can stay on the field for an extra 15 snaps a game, then I don't think that's crazy. Not at all.
Yeah, that guy can be. I just remember some games, the Arizona game. I feel like in particular to open the season, there were like just a couple plays where. It was insane, just the raw power that he showed, just blowing the center off the line. The guy, I think, is a scary good, and he's big, but he's also fast for his size. And I don't know, he's just everything that you want anchoring that defensive line. I'm curious to see, too, who steps up. Sounds like Zach Daw is doing really well, but can fill that Corbin Kafusi role as a good, you know, DN pass rusher. If we can get some pressure on the quarterback with that front four, I just think that's going to help this defense so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So fall camp, for the most part, is it's really exciting until it comes. And then I think you quickly remember that it's actually kind of boring, and you want it to be that way, because if there's news, like the biggest news out of BYU's camp has not been there's a starting running back. It's been the injury. And something that I've really come to understand about position battles is it even if someone is named the starter in camp, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, everyone's going to have their shot on the field, and whoever produces is going to be the guy. Like the two cases that come to my mind are Ula Tolutau wasn't the starter, but he quickly became the best running back on the team a couple years ago. And same with Michael Wadsworth. He didn't start at Nebraska, but he ended up being one of our better defensive backs that season. I think he led the team in tackles that year. Wow. So these battles are interesting, but they're not really going to decide themselves until week two or three, you know? So at this point, I'm just kind of over the position battles because someone might get a few more reps against Utah, but who's going to produce, you know?
For sure. That's definitely the most important thing. I was going to say, I think one thing that's interesting about fall camp, sometimes you hear, I guess, kind of conflicting reports. Like,
yes.
Like I've heard, I think it was you, Matt, who was saying you felt like the running back spot, there really is no competition. Like it's Katoa's to lose right now. I heard someone else say that like Tyson Williams is like separating himself from the pack.
That was Hansel.
Like, yeah. So Matt, who do I believe? Who do I believe?
Kalani recently said in an interview, like kind of hinting towards Katoa's getting the majority of the work. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That might be like a 55-45 majority, but based on what Kalani has said, signs point to Katoa. But that job, back to my point, that job's going to come down to who produces against Utah. I mean, if Katoa gets the first four carries and he's four carries for 1 yard, the next four carries are not going to Katoa. And if that happens to Tyson, they're going to try Emmanuel. It's like AJ Stewart said about a week ago that he's comfortable playing five guys right now. And so until someone emerges, we could see all five. Yeah. Which is it's good and bad. I see both sides of it. Does that concern you, Jordan?
No, not – well, I'm kind of on the fence, which is bad podcasting, but I think none of these guys are like bell cows. We don't have Ezekiel Elliott. We don't have Saquon Barkley. And I think when you don't have those guys, I think running is a good thing as long as the committee doesn't get too big. I think
– like a three-man committee?
Yeah, I think 2 to 3 and just leave it there. I think if you have too many bodies going in, I think there's more chances for fumbles. There's less continuity between the quarterback and the running back and the lineman about when to hit holes. I think that causes some issues there. I think that's a chemistry thing as well as talent. But I don't expect to have one of these running backs go for over 1,000 yards. I'd be shocked if we had one guy that just dominated the ball. Not that it'd be a bad thing. It just doesn't seem like that's the type of player we have right now. So I'm okay with the top 2 to 3, mostly the top 2, getting the majority of the reps in these games.
Katoa has been kind of a social media sensation. I mean, he looks great on the clips that have been posted. The one thing that does give me concern is there is a lot of talk that he finished the season strong last year. And the majority of that statistical number that people refer to is in 2 games. And, New Mexico State and Hawaii, you know, that doesn't instill a lot of confidence in terms of last season's production. So that's something that I'm just going to withhold judgment and opinion until the season begins, that position.
I thought, Matt, I thought you asked AJ Stewart an interesting question in the interview with him, which was like, basically, I think if I recall correctly, it was basically, what does AJ Stewart prefer? Would he prefer to have a feature back, a guy that can give you like, you know, 1,200 yards in a season, or the running back by committee approach? And I think his answer was something along the lines of he'd like both, right? It sounds like. I mean, you want that feature back, but also the depth that you know if that guy goes down, you know, another guy can fill his shoes. But it sounds like what you're saying and what Jordan is saying, you guys don't think there's that feature back on the roster right now. It's probably more running back by committee approach, huh?
If you, and I hope you never do this to me, Dave, but if you walk me to the edge of a cliff and you push me over the edge and then grab my shirt and told me to tell you what my gut feeling was on this particular question, I would say that Tyson is more capable of being the workhorse back.
Hmm, interesting.
That doesn't mean he's going to be the workhorse back at all or even get the first crack at it. I'm with Jordan. I don't know if there is one on the roster, but Katoa is a little lean to be toting the rock 20 times a game. You know what I mean? That's severe punishment for anyone.
Yeah. So along those lines, then, a question for you both. Do you think with Tyson Williams being a grad transfer, it's his final year playing football, he feels like the type of guy that we don't get at BYU very often.
Absolutely.
Is it important he just for even future grad transfers or things like that, how important is it that he establishes himself as at least a feature back, you know, at least part of a 1-2 punch, you know, in the BYU backfield?
Jordan, help yourself here.
I think this coaching staff is under too much pressure to try to force feed someone who isn't producing. So I understand what you're getting at, but I think their job status and that the pressure they're under to win would outweigh any pressure to play a grad transfer for the image or whatever. I mean, obviously, if he's the most talented player, I think he's going to play. But I don't. My opinion is that would be vetoed by other pressures and things they have going on.
Yeah, I would say kind of echo the same sentiment, which is, no, I don't think there's any pressure to make sure he has a good experience. There's just too much at stake for BYU right now to worry about that perception, because if they play him, let's say he's not the best, but they play him and we have a bad year, he's not going to have a great experience and the coaching staff will be gone. So I don't think that means much. I will say something I've learned by being a little closer to the program is that these people are human and there are a lot of things that Kalani does bring to the table that I definitely didn't give him enough credit for last year when I was highly critical. I mean, that dude really cares about his players. And, you know, I think one of the reasons he is a good recruiter is because he just genuinely cares about people. I mean, just an example of kind of the things that he does. It was last Friday, and Dave would know the story kind of well because I showed up to a scheduled dinner way later than I was supposed to. But I jumped on KSL's unrivaled weekly nightly radio show. That doesn't make sense. Weekly nightly. It's nightly during the week, if that makes sense.
We got what
and you. Oh, yeah. And they had Kalani on the show, and then afterwards he was just talking with me and Mitch, and like we were talking about all kinds of stuff, off the record stuff that I can't share. But it really opened my eyes to like, man, this dude like goes above and beyond for his players. He's still in contact with Francis Bernard, still wants him to do well. And it's like, man, that is next level. Because the way that Bernard left and kind of his behavior towards BYU has not been something that I would condone. So he's clearly a better person than me. But I guess the overall point here is, you know, the production on the field needs to get better, and there's no doubt about that. But you do have to kind of weigh in some of the other intangible stuff that he does too, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'd be willing to re-sign him at 6-6, maybe even 5-7, depending on if there's injuries. But if it's a 5-7 year and we're healthy and we just look like garbage, then that would be a tough one to swallow. Right? Am I not right?
5 and 7 would be tough, man. I think that's
that'd be hard.
Even 6 and 6, I mean,
6 and 6, he's getting re-signed. I guarantee it.
That's still a tough one, man. Like, I know that
this is stunning. It's like we've reversed.
But let's put some context here, though. There's different types of 6 and 6s. If we beat Utah, but then, you know, Tennessee's better than we think, and USC's new offense is amazing, and, like, you know, Boise State, they're always – like, if we beat Utah and Utah State and our gimmies and go 6 and 6, he's definitely staying.
Yes.
But if we lose all of our rivals and just beat up on cupcakes –
that's tough. And yeah.
So there has to be some context to these records too, on who we beat, who we lost to, how bad were the losses. I think a straight up record doesn't really tell the whole story. A win over Utah, I think I would keep him. I don't care if we lost every other game after that. I'm not even exaggerating. If we could beat them, go 1-11, I would re-sign him personally. That's just my creed.
I guess for
Cougar
me,
Sports Saturday, and I agree with him. If they beat Utah, they're bringing the contract into the locker room, and they'll have him sign right there in the celebration.
I guess for me, we went 7-6 last year, right? With a pretty young team, and we lose some high end guys. Some guys are playing NFL right now. Sammy Talkie, you know, Korb. But, man, I mean, we're bringing back a lot, and especially on the lines. Yes, we have a bit of a, you know, difficult schedule, especially a front-loaded schedule as always. But three of those first four are at home. And I know before you get going, Matt, I know home isn't great, you know, with Kalani at the helm. But, gosh, I got to feel like eight wins is like – I feel like that's doable. I mean, I feel like with these first four games – I almost feel like it's a coin flip, right, with them. I mean, maybe I'm giving too much credit to our boys in blue. Obviously, I got, you know, those blue goggles or whatnot, but I just feel like those first four could go either way. You know, back half of the schedule eases up quite a bit. I know we won Toledo and South Florida on the road, but I don't know, guys. I just feel like eight wins should be very doable with the schedule.
Yeah, it's it's within reach. I mean,
I guess I'll say I'll be disappointed, I think, if we have less than eight wins, I think, on the season. I know that may seem crazy, but I feel like if this coaching staff deserves to be retained, they're taking, you know, these young guys should take a pretty significant step forward this season. And that should play out on the field and result in some wins. And so if we're still seeing another 6 or 7 win season, I just don't think that these are the guys that are going to, you know, get us over the top.
Let's wrap up our first conversation. We'll get more into a Utah preview later, but let's touch on the Utah game. How do you guys feel about that game right now? Considering we have an injury – there's a couple injuries up there that they're not really being truthful about because Kyle Whittingham is a interesting dude that I don't want to get dinner with.
I feel like there's a story there. Do you have
no
opportunity to go
there's not a, there's not a story there. I'm just saying, like, I don't like him, so I don't want to spend any time with him. You know? So
yeah.
I think I'll always be bitter about just his treatment of BYU. I know he uses it as like a psychological edge, but that makes it so I can never be a Whittingham fan, and I'll never recognize him as an alumni of BYU.
I think that's fair. I feel like he's had in the vitriol between the two schools really started with Urban Meyer, and it felt like, you know, Whittingham being an alum of BYU had a chance to, you know, kind of level things out a little bit, bring it kind of back to where it was with Lavelle and Ronnie Mack, and
especially with Kalani at coach.
Yes,
that's when he could have started referring to BYU as an actual university and using their name and being complimentary. And the fact that he hasn't done that with someone that he worked with for, like, what, a decade? This isn't just some dude that stopped in there for one. This isn't Troy Taylor. This is Kalani Sitake. You can't show a little respect?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. That I'm not a big K-Witt fan either. I think he's a solid coach. I'm with you, man. He acts extremely – is petty the right word? Kind of, yes, childish, I guess, when it comes to the rivalry. So,
Jordan, what are your thoughts and feelings right now? I know we got – is it Thursday night? 3 weeks from now, we'll be closing in on halftime. Wow.
Yeah, man. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
All right, thoughts on the game. I feel like we played this game not too long ago, and both teams had some injuries. But they're pretty much the same teams now, other than I feel like BYU is returning more people. Utah lost their offensive coordinator. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. I will never understand the both national and local hype on Utah. Me neither. I'm not saying they're going to be bad this year, but I've heard multiple different people talk about how they are expected to win the South, the Pac-12, and have a chance at the playoff. And I don't see it. I mean, Zach Moss is a good running back.
He's an injured running back.
But they lost their linebacking core. They lost a ton of offensive linemen. The receivers have never been that great. I mean, they're going to have a good defense. They're going to be able to replace people. That's what they do. I understand that. But the hype around them, I just don't get. I feel like they're going to come into Pro Bowl thinking that they're just going to smack us. That fourth quarter is going to be how this whole game goes. And I really expect us to beat them this year. I feel like with our line play, I feel like Grimes is going to be able to open it up. I've heard multiple, whether it's Rebel or Criddle or other, whoever it is, it sounds like they're keeping track of like explosive plays and like they want those type of things. I think you need that to beat Utah. You can't just run it up the middle and expect to beat them. So I like our chances. Again, I feel like we're pretty much the same two teams. It's like we've kept more of our starters going into it. I feel like that gives us an advantage.
Dave?
Yeah. I think I'm encouraged, I think, for BYU. A couple of reasons that Jordan, I think, already talked on. First, you know, the Utes are breaking in a new offense. Yes, it's Andy Ludwig, second time, you know, around, so – they're familiar with him, I'm sure, and kind of with the schemes, but still, you got to implement a new offense. Replacing, is it three offensive linemen, I think, or maybe it's four. I think that's difficult. And, you know, the last time I remember that happening with a really hyped team was Oklahoma back in 2009 when BYU played them. And, you know, their O-line, Oklahoma's O-line, kind of got rocked that game. They had tons of false starts. You know, we were able to get pressure on Bradford. And so I kind of foresee that, you know, being the case with this game as well. I think BYU's D-line should be able to handle their O-line. If we can and control the line of scrimmage and make Huntley beat us, you know, with his arm, which I think he's a good passer, but I think that gives us a good shot. One other thing I would say is Kyle Whittingham's greatest strength, I feel like, is also one of his biggest weaknesses, which he always – coaches and his teams are always at their best when their backs are against the wall and they're the underdog and they're not expected to do well. And I think the reverse he struggles with. I don't know if he knows how to get his team amped up for the big moments. I mean, it just doesn't seem like in years past when they've had chances at the Pac, you know, South, that they've been able to deliver. I mean, it always seems like they have a late season collapse when they're in position to take the South and make some noise. And so I just don't know if his form as well. And so I think BYU's got an edge there. I think it's going to be a great game. It always seems like it's a great game. It comes right down to the final play. I'd really like it to be that we just absolutely crush them, though.
Oh, me too. Okay, even if we don't crush them, it would be nice to have a convincing victory in which it couldn't come down to the final play. Even if BYU were to win, and I don't think they will, but let's say they were to win 31-17, that would feel good.
Agreed. Absolutely.
We haven't beat them by two scores in decades, plural.
Yes, 96, right? I think that was that the last time?
That is unbelievable. Hearing that out loud.
It's crazy. For me, it just is mind-boggling how crazy the last even, you know, nine games or whatever streak has been. Like, it's just crazy how absurdly close they've been, with the exception of 2011, and it's crazy how many different ways BYU has found to lose that game.
Yep. I think for me, yes, Dave, it is time.
It's time.
It's been time for a long time.
It's true.
I do BYU can win the game. I'm just not confident in my own feelings. It's like, I don't disagree with anything you guys have said. I'm just, you know, I feel like I have felt
this way.
What does
that mean?
I feel like I've felt this way for years. We're going into that game. I'm like, we could and maybe should win some of these games. I mean, I know I felt that way during Taysom's senior year, where I was like, Troy Williams, not that good. We should go up there and win. That's why I go to those games, because I'm like, we're going to win. Last year was the one time in probably since they won 54-10 that I didn't walk into that game thinking, we're going to win this game. Like, there's all the X, Y, and Z. That's why we're going to win. And, like, so part of me is wondering, like, am I just falling victim to my own optimism and it's just going to be more of the same, you know?
Hope springs eternal, Matt.
I hope. Yeah, remember, these guys do not start off strong.
They don't.
Their first game, even if against like inferior opponents, like it's usually at halftime. It's usually a tight game, and then their talent takes over in the second half. But sorry, we're a little bit better than some of these other teams that they've played the first year. They have one X factor too. I feel like Lisa Wilson is gonna get this crowd pumped up for this game. That might be one of Kalani's greatest acquisitions. Not only getting Zach Wilson, but getting Lisa Wilson. I honestly love her on Twitter. I love her takes. I love the fire. She'll get us to get better uniforms eventually. I think
she's doing the Lord's work.
She's a member, right? She's still doing great things. All right,
Yeah, if that place isn't sold out, I gotta go on Cougar Sports Saturday the following Saturday and just rip BYU fans a new one, because it's a summer night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Your rivals come to town. You have a good team. You have an exciting quarterback. How? If this isn't a sellout, I'm gonna be devastated. Devastated.
I think it will be. I'll be there, Matt.
I will be there as well, and so will Jordan, and we will need to find each other at halftime and break it down.
Yes.
What was that?
Absolutely agree.
Rah, 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 rah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm ready right now.
Yes.
I know. I'm ready.
So
I'm ready
to hear, Jordan.
All right. Hey. Well, we'll talk again soon as we really break down the Utah game and maybe give our season predictions. But so far, I think everything's been a success. Losing Hank, not ideal, but
yeah, that was a bummer.
It could be worse. And I don't mean that, you know, I feel for Hank personally, but he's not a proven commodity at this point. So
just stinks. Anytime we lose depth, and especially a guy that by all accounts sounds like he was having a really nice fall camp up until that point.
Yep. Yep.
And you just feel for these guys. I mean, these guys are busting their butts in the off season to for the season, and then for him to go down and fall camp without having been able to play at all. after he's, you know, been recovering from ACL. That's just tough. You feel for the guy.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's it for the first rendition of season two of the BYU Roundtable. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Jordan.
All right. Have a good night. And until the next time, how does Greg end these things? In the meantime and in between time.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
See ya.
All right. See ya.
See you guys.